Good evening. It's a Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio in association with Zynomics. Welcome along. Welcome as ever to Jono Bullard and Dan Green. Evening, boys.
Evening,
Chris. Evening.
One of us is in a t-shirt, another's in a coat, and another's in a fluffy onesie type thing. I wonder whether that says something about how we put our heating on. I don't know.
We want you to tweet in and guess which one's which.
Yeah. Which one's in the fluffy onesie? Who's in the t-shirt? And who's in a big thick coat? Jono, is it colder in the UK or in New York?
It was colder today in the UK than it was in New York when I left. But it was very cold on Saturday. Very cold.
How was your trip? Snow flurries. That minor league NHL type hockey?
Yeah, you know, you've got to see these minor leagues play and, you know, show them some support. No, it was brilliant. Brilliant. Fantastic game, fantastic atmosphere, fantastic arena. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, saw your pictures. That they look really great. Maybe we'll come back to that in a moment. Let's talk about the new signings. We'll go back a bit to Albin Lindgren in a moment, but let's start with a goalie signing because we have a goalie on this podcast. Dan Green, it's... Well, let's first of all talk about the man arriving, Peyton Jones. He helped Cardiff get to the semi-finals of the Cup, helped them up into the top places in the Elite League. You know, they're right there challenging. For this stage of the season, Peyton Jones is a really good pickup, isn't he, Greener?
Yeah, excellent pickup. I mean, it's very rare a team in January can add a top-class goalie. You know, sometimes a team will get an injury about now and they will bring a goalie in, but it's normally kind of whoever they can get to fill a gap. But I mean, you know, we have a real luxury now with Peyton Jones and Alex Dubow, you know, arguably two of the best goalies in the league on the same roster. So, you know, it gives Corey a real luxury of being able to go back and forth or just playing whoever's hot, or obviously if one, hopefully not, but was to pick up an injury, you've got cover there. So, everything I've seen about Peyton's been excellent. A lot of the stuff online from the Belfast fans have said, you know, you've got a really good person there, which I think is really important, especially for a goalie. You know, I think he started off a bit slowly there, but then he really came into his own, you know, the last month or so. And all I've heard about him is he's a really good person. He's a good goalie. And so I'm excited to see him play.
It's interesting you say about his slow start and then he came into his own. He played 17 games for Belfast, 12 wins and 3 shutouts. He won his final 7 games as a Giant. And I'm just intrigued, Jono, by Kiefer's thinking here. I mean, there's no doubt that this guy is a top-class netminder, you know, absolutely top-class netminder. But do you think when Beskarani became available, maybe he felt that Beskarani was a guy to lead him to a championship? He's a guy he knew, and look how well he's done before. You know, that kind of trust issue. It's intriguing that they've got a goalie whose stats are quite good. Him and Whistle were working well together, but Kiefer obviously saw it a different way.
Yeah, there's a lot to pick apart with that. I mean, Beskarani's led Belfast to 2 championships in the 2 previous seasons he's been there. I suppose he saw him available. He knows what it takes to get the Giants over the line. So that's probably why Adam Kiefer's bought him in. But you've got Jackson Whistle playing out of his skin at the minute and posting some fantastic figures. And then you have Peyton Jones, who I think in his last 6 games was something like 94% save percentage. Yeah. So has also been playing really, really well. So I think it's a big, big gamble from Adam Keefe. And you only have to look at the reaction from the Giants fans, as Greener said. Yeah, that they... A lot of disappointed Giants fans that Peyton Jones was leaving and coming to us. And it's an interesting one. I think a big gamble for Adam Keefe, but he knows what Tyler Beskarani brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, just looking further into Besko's stats, you know, 31 wins and 9 losses last season in 40 games, 93.1 save percentage, just 1.71 goals against. You know, we know he was a championship winning goalie for the Giants. And you look at that and you think that that's why Kiefer's gone for it, and fair play to him. But as I say, their loss is Nottingham's gain. Really sad, you know, because, you know, with one goalie coming, another one has to go. And Jack Berry, you know, Greener didn't do much wrong while he was here. But unfortunately, you know, he was the one to lose out on this occasion. But he can feel a little bit unlucky.
I think so, yeah. I mean, from my point of view, he was the perfect kind of 1B, if you want to call it that, goalie, where he was a great guy. I mean, we all know him, you know, quite well, being around the rink, and quiet guy, very likeable. Teammates really liked him, you know, no issues with him at all, especially when Alex Dubois was suspended and had that little injury. He played a good run of games. I thought he played well. I think he won a lot more games than he lost in those games for us. And yeah, I think it's a tough one, because, you know, when someone like Peyton Jones becomes available, let's be honest, it is an upgrade, like one for one on that position. And that's what the Panthers want to do there. They're trying to get a bit stronger for this, you know, end of season / playoff push. And I just think Jack Berry, it's just unfortunate. You know, it just happened, you know, sort of wrong place, wrong time. Nothing to do with how he was playing or how he was doing here. I think the management just see it as, we can't really turn down bringing in a player of his quality. And, you know, hopefully Jack, wherever it is, will find a team, you know, for the rest of the season.
Moving on, Greener, to Albin Lindgren, who, well, like Peyton Jones, trained with his teammates for the first time today. I know you got to study training for a bit longer, and I know some of the guys were talking about it after training as well. He is going to be a good transition, a puck-moving defenseman, if any indications are to be believed.
Yeah, he looked good. You know, obviously being, without stereotyping, obviously being Swedish, you know, he's going to be able to skate well. He's going to have good skills. And he certainly looked the part. I think that is one thing we're lacking. You know, we've obviously got good defensemen, but I think that smooth skating, offensive, making plays, probably beyond the power play, I think that's always something you can add in. And again, you know, adding a player of his quality in January, again, it's just a little upgrade. You know, it's just those two or three little tweaks that Corey and Omar have made that, you know, hopefully can add to kind of turning the ship around and, you know, really finishing strong and moving into the playoffs. So again, you know, like I said about Peyton Jones, I just think anytime you can add a quality player like that at this time of the year, you've got to do it. So
Jono, I know you won't have seen him play or train because you've been, you know, sunning up in New York. but you look at his stats and what the scouting reports say about him. Again, it feels like the type of player that Panthers will really benefit from having in their lineup, doesn't it?
Yeah, he looks a real Corey Nielsen type of player, you know, a puck carrying defenseman. Scored a lot of points from the blue line, faster last season in the Alps Hockey League, 41 points from 36 games, 9 points from 10 games for Stjernen earlier in this season in Norway. And yeah, he scored points. He's played in some decent leagues. He's played in Norway. He's played in Denmark, played in the Alps Hockey League. You know, he looks like he will come in and he'll do a real good job for us. And you know, a puck carrying, good transitioning defenseman. Be interesting to see if he's the sort of defenseman who quarterbacks the power play as well. Really looking forward to seeing him play, actually.
Yeah, we might lose the Corey Nielsen 5-forward power play now with that, maybe. Unless that changed at the weekend, it's not easy to tell on the webcast. Just talking about, I'm just looking at Twitter as you guys are talking in our mentions on Panthers, and there's one here, come back to the Giants, Peyton. From a Giants fan, although he spelt Peyton wrong. But yeah, and also the Glasgow clan have launched a competition to retweet a tweet and like it and follow and tag a friend, but they've added us in. So our timeline is full of people being tagged. Thank you very much, Glasgow clan. Maybe that's Craig, I guess. Thanks, Craig. Mm-hmm. We have a timeline full of people being tagged for the Glasgow Clan competition.
You can sort of get rid of it, you know. I'll show you how to do it.
All right. I'm intrigued to see all these people being, you know, good luck, you know, good luck with that competition. Four tickets for Friday's game against the Panthers. So Panthers fans, join in if you're going up and you want to try and win some tickets. Okay, well, let's go to the weekend and Belfast. Greeno, you know, start. I don't know how much you're able to follow over the weekend, but it, you know, I watched it quite closely over the weekend. And Friday was, you know, a poor first period, but Panthers came back strong and obviously wanted to make sure that they weren't embarrassed and they weren't, you know, in the end they came back and didn't concede again. And then obviously the next night, Corey Nielsen revealed in his post-match interview that he'd said to the players, this isn't what we expect. You know, everybody let their standards down on Friday. It wasn't good enough. He told them that. And then obviously they responded on Saturday. Can sometimes those words by a coach have a real impact?
I think so, yeah. Because, you know, you're almost not questioning someone's skill, but you're questioning their character, which is obviously a lot worse. You know, you're questioning their compete, their motivation, and you know there's a difference between losing where maybe you're just not the best side, and that's going to happen obviously on any night, but then there's losing through, you know, quitting, not trying, whatever the reason. And I think if you kind of get called out for that kind of hurts more than anything. So, yeah, I mean, to be honest, obviously, win one, lose one. But really, we only really lost that first period of the first game. I mean, the rest of the game, I know, obviously, Belfast probably eased off. But, you know, the last two periods we won, 1-0. And then, obviously, we tied Sunday and then Saturday and then won in the shootout. So, I mean, if you sort of dissect it down, it was only really one period out of six away in Belfast that they got the better of us. So I think we can take a lot from it. I mean, you know, obviously, I think realistically, if you'd said to everybody, we'll take 2 points out of the weekend, I'm sure a lot of people would have taken that when you sort of look at the league table. And I think, you know, the fact that Alex Dubow bounced back and played really well, we managed to score some goals, we got some power play goals, you know, we kind of, I think Belfast probably had the better of it Saturday. But again, you know, we didn't break. You know, we kind of hung in there, and I think it shows a lot of good characteristics. I just think a bit of a slow start, poor first period on the first game. But except from that, I feel like we were fairly competitive. So I think there was a lot of positives.
Yeah. Dubow made some good saves all weekend, actually, particularly on Saturday night. There was if you watch the highlights, there was 2 1-0s in overtime, some huge saves. I was also impressed with the work rate. The first goal, Sorensen wins the puck behind the net on the boards and feeds it out for Brady. You know, there was a lot of hard work going into that weekend, and obviously they got the rewards in the end on Saturday night. So to this weekend, Jono, Glasgow now, they've shown signs that they are turning a bit of a corner. What do you expect from Glasgow on Friday night?
Yeah, they've had a couple of good wins, haven't they, over the past weekend. It's lifted them off the bottom of the table now. So Fife find themselves at the bottom of the Elite League, with Glasgow now in ninth, 1 point behind Dundee. So with playoffs in mind, they're right in that race. And so it's not going to be easy. We didn't have an easy game the last time we played there earlier in the season, I think 3-2 penalty shootout.
Yeah, win. Two down.
Yeah, so it's not going to be an easy game. They always have a big Friday night vociferous crowd behind them, so the players are going to have to get used to that as well. It'd be interesting, though, because Panthers, obviously, with Lindgren, who will probably be making his debut, do we think Peyton Jones might get the start for that one? Personally, I'm not sure. I think Jones is probably more likely, in my opinion, to start on Saturday night against his former club, because he will have something to prove there, I think. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. A lot for Panthers to choose from as well. So there's some decisions for Corey Nielsen to make with regards imports missing out, because we've obviously got far more than the 14 now. So, it should be an interesting game. Be,
one out
if you're not going up, it'll be well worth watching on the webcast. I think.
Yeah, it's one out skater at the moment and one goalie, isn't it? One player will set out. Would it be a defenseman? Would it be a forward? Corey Nielsen's got his options, you know, to cut out. Well, not cut out, but good options to be able to make these decisions. And Greener, then Belfast come to town on Saturday again. You know, Nottingham have done well against Belfast at home this season. 5-4 in the league, 3-2 in the cup. Just a bit like Cardiff, you know, they've done well against. You know, the Panthers on home ice have been able to get better results against, ironically, those sort of teams than they have against sometimes against Fife and Manchester and so on.
Yeah, I think we've got a winning record against Belfast, you know, over the five games this year. And I think, you know, you would probably say they are probably a little bit ahead of us just going on league form, you know, and stuff. But, you know, when you play a team over and over, you know, Corey's very good. He, you know, I don't want to say he'll have them figured out, but, you know, when you play a team that much, it kind of closes the gap a little bit because you sort of tend to know their tendencies. Obviously, like you said, if Peyton Jones plays, he'll have a lot to prove. And yeah, I think if it's a big crowd, like you said, Belfast, Cardiff, we've done well against those teams. And Belfast are obviously a very good team. I think in every game we've played this year, they've probably controlled it and maybe had more chances. It'll obviously take another good goaltending performance to get the win, but I certainly think we don't fear them. You know, if we can go into Belfast and win, you know, we can certainly beat them at home. So, you know, obviously, do Belfast play Friday like we do?
I think they do. Let me double.
Just because obviously, you know, with us playing and traveling, obviously, if they don't play, will they be a bit fresher?
Right, maybe? They're playing Guildford on the 18th in the cup. Then they're playing in Cardiff on Friday night.
So they play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, yes. So
they'll play two games before we even play them.
Yep.
Hearing that news, you know, Cor, they're three tough games, the Panthers, Guildford, and, you know, they're all sort of must wins really for them. So, I mean, you know, 3-4, that's going to be tough for them. Obviously, we've got the game up in Glasgow, but I think that plays into our hands again a little bit. I really see no reason that we can't get a really good result against them Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Interesting points there. Talking about the big crowd, over three quarters of the bowl has already been sold for Belfast, and there's still, 4 days to go. So if you are thinking of going, I'd get some tickets quite quickly because that's going to be another 5,000-plus crowd. And just to end, guys, this title race, I mean, a few weeks ago I said Belfast and Cardiff weren't in it. Then last week I said I feel like it's going to go Sheffield's way, and then Guildford put out that result and they're 3 points clear with the equal games. What, they've got 22 games each to go. Greener, does Saturday's result make you more than ever believe that Guildford are still in it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's a massive result. You know, we always, or I know I have anyway, always kind of thought Guildford might fall off at some point. But I mean, you know, to go into Sheffield, I don't know too much about the game, but, you know, to go in and beat them, I know they scored late on, it just shows how good they are. And, if you're a Guildford player, you must be full of confidence knowing that, even more so because they lost those three games at Christmas and then they've not lost since, so I don't think. So, you know, they have that little blip, they brush it off and just then put another 5, 6, 7 game win streak together. So, yeah, I think it's between those two. Obviously, Cardiff and Belfast. I mean, I think with Belfast, you'll probably know after this week. If they've got Guildford, Cardiff and us, I think after those three, you'll probably see from them if they're really in it or not. So we'll probably, this time next week, we'll probably have a lot more of an idea. But I think Guildford and Sheffield are just going to go toe-to-toe for the rest of the season, really.
Yeah, five-game winning streak, Guildford. And what's interesting about that game is they were two up and then they suffered to go back to 2-2. And many teams would have crumbled in Sheffield. And they kind of did a Sheffield, kind of what they sometimes do to us, and score late. 22 seconds to go they scored to win that game and to take the stuffing out of the building. And then got the empty netter in McNulty with 8 seconds to go. Jono, it just shows, doesn't it? Like Green has said, that this title race feels like it's got a few more twists and turns yet.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, with Belfast and Cardiff right in there as well. I mean, Cardiff have got games in hand because obviously they've been in the Continental Cup this past weekend. So I think they may have a few fixtures close together. So whether that will affect them, I don't know. Belfast have been on a great winning run. I think that the loss to us on Saturday was their first loss in 12. And I think they've been on like 11 straight wins before that. And they still got a point out of the game, don't forget, because it went to overtime. So, yeah, I still see it as a four-way race, but that is a huge result for the Guildford Flames in Sheffield on Saturday, especially to win it so late on. And then to follow that up with a result against Manchester on Sunday to give them that 3-point cushion, you know, that'll give them a lot of confidence.
Yeah, great stuff. Okay, I think that'll about do it for this week. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you taking your time, especially you, Johnny. Probably got a bit of jet lag, so we'll let you get some sleep now. And
thank you very much.
We'll be with you for the post-game podcast after Belfast on Saturday, but bye for now.